always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
I know that RFK Jr. went to try and get onto the stage on Thursday, and I'd love to have him, frankly, because I don't think he's much of a debater. And he's got some very liberal, radical left ideas. And I look forward to Thursday night. It'll be great. And again, I saw RFK Jr., nice guy. I hope he can debate, because I really think it would be a good thing to have him up there. I'd love to have him up there, but you have to do better than 6 or 7 points, like by about triple. And maybe someday he'll be there, but I sort of doubt it. Thank you.
5:07, and welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Harb Show. My partner Tim Jones, of course, is on assignment. He will be back with us on Monday. You know, those who are of my age, the upcoming debate kind of reminds you of the 70s of the heavyweight fights with Ali and Foreman and Frazier and all of those. You'd be the hype and the buildup, and you couldn't wait for the fight. I almost feel that same with this Biden-Trump debate. Not so much that Trump or that Biden is a capable debater and all that. It's just going to be must-see TV. Of course, we will be having our debate party at Johnny's Hideout on June 27th, sponsored by Freedom Principal Missouri and the St. Louis Young Republicans and Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning, Johnny's Hideout in High Ridge. And joining us are the proprietors of Johnny's Hideout. They are Rick Pogue and Jake Kastner. Welcome, gentlemen.
It's good to be here. And, you know, I would compare it more to Larry Holmes and Jerry Cooney.
I remember that.
Myself.
I remember that. That was on HBO and pay-per-view and all that. And it was just a lot of hype for that fight. All the celebrities were at that fight. And I was
young. I'll never forget. My dad's like, hey, watch this. It'll last about 2 minutes.
And that's about what it lasted. And joining us from the afternoon show, Tony Colombo from Colombo and Katie. Tony, how are you?
I'm doing good.
I thought it was a Friday. Yeah. We should bring everybody in.
It's a party.
I was like, this is the room that the party was in, so here I am.
I think
it's more like a social media celebrity boxing. Like, it's just a complete circus show. It's like Screech from Saved by the Bell versus it's that level of reality TV that it can't miss because it's going to be. It's going to be amazing. Joe Biden's lights are going to go out at some point, and it's just going to be.
Oh, they'll have him hopped up on Mountain Dew and all kinds of stuff.
But will it last for 90 minutes? I don't know. The B12 shot, I don't know if it can make it. I don't know if it'll last that long.
We will see. I'll tell you what. Is it true that they have the right to cut Trump's mic?
So when it's not their turn to speak, the other person's microphone will be turned off.
Okay, here's my prediction. It'll be about 20 to zero. I'll bet you they don't cut Joe Biden's mic one time.
Yeah. Well, and the other one of the other rules is neither candidate is allowed to have notes. They're not even allowed to have notes.
He doesn't need notes. He's going to have an earpiece, and they're going to feed him. Through his earpiece.
If that's honestly, if they are going to truly abide by the rules. And he doesn't, and Joe Biden doesn't have notes, and he doesn't have some hidden earpiece. There's no possible way he can make it 90 minutes and stay focused on anything.
Reports came out today, Tony, that he will stay in Rehoboth Beach. That's the beach house that he goes to every single weekend. He's going to stay there until the debate, the next six or seven days. He's been there since Wednesday. 8 days of resting on the beach and debate prep. Will that have him pumped up enough? What do you think, guys?
Dips into Hunter's
stash. where they plug him into the machine and feed him adrenaline and who knows what else drugs. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, we were hearing a lot the last couple of months about the money advantage with Biden and Trump. The money that Trump was raising, people were saying, oh, it's going to the legal defense fund. He's going to have a big trouble that all of the people that are donating to Trump are big money donors. They're maxing out. Well, These numbers that Donald Trump reported in May are just gaudy. Let me give you a couple of the numbers here. Trump in May raised $141 million. Biden raised $81 million. Yeah. To give you just an indication of just how the verdict helped, he raised $70 million in the first 48 hours after the verdict. The money is coming in big time. Trump has $116 million on hand. Biden has $119 million. Timothy Mellon from the Mellon Banking Fortune has given a pack, MAGA Inc., $50 million. So, Rick, Jake, I think the money is going to be there for the president.
I agree. And you'd mentioned it's coming from big donors. I don't think it is. I think it's coming from I watched that, and then I donated like $500 the next day. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people donating $5 and $10 and $100. Mm-hmm. And do those statistics show in there?
No.
They don't tell?
No.
So I think a lot of it is literally ground level, you know, donors that just are sick of the nonsense. They see through this.
Yeah.
There's a reason, you know, he gets convicted on these bogus charges and his poll numbers go up.
Yeah.
Every time they do something to him, his poll numbers go up. That's not on accident.
There's no better motivation on it when it comes to almost anything than when you're angry. Yeah. When people get angry, that's when they're motivated to act. Yeah. And people are angry at the unfair, clearly unfair, and it's in your face unfair.
Yeah.
Like we're going to do what we want. We know it's wrong. We know that you know it's wrong, but we're still going to do it because we have the power and the privilege to do it. And people get angry, and you're right, Rick. Yeah. I think it is a groundswell of everyday voters with small donations adding up to that huge number that we're seeing. There's those big donors in there as well, but I think that's the difference.
And it will get better and better.
I hope you guys have ordered enough food, drinks for the debate.
I'll let Jake speak to that.
I think it's going to be packed.
We're excited.
Look, as of yesterday, not only is CNN carrying this debate, Fox News is carrying it, Fox Business, ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, Telemundo, News Station, Scripps News, Newsmax. They all agreed to simulcast this debate with CNN. So this debate is going to be huge. I hope you guys have the goods.
We do. So we hold a lot of events at Johnny's almost weekly. We have a special event of something, if it's sports related or boxing or, you know, something. Charity events, all that. This one is probably going to be one of our biggest.
Yeah.
We're definitely looking forward to it. We're staffed properly for it, and we're ready. We're looking forward to it.
Any debate-related specials or anything like
Biden's Baja wings.
Yeah.
Or something. Well, there's going to be a Biden drink. It doesn't taste good and it's very expensive.
Hey, I want to ask you guys something. It's kind of political related, of course. And Rick, you said you don't mind talking politics. The National Defense Authorization Bill comes up every few years. Usually it passes without any big deals, pretty bipartisan. This year, the Democrats have added language that requires women to register for the draft. Good idea, bad or not? Whoa.
So they know what a woman is.
Yeah, you had a good point.
Yeah.
Okay, well that's important.
That's a great point.
So they're acknowledging they know what a woman is.
I guess so. That's a good point.
Somebody should tell the new Chief Justice that.
You have to be a woman or identify as a woman.
It just says they want women to have to.
Everything the Democrat Party does, this is my opinion, I'm not speaking for Johnny's hat out. I'm speaking for Rick Pogue.
Mm-hmm.
It's designed to keep us divided because when we're divided, we're weak and we're fighting amongst each other and we're not watching what they're doing or fighting them together.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the Republican Party, I vote Republican, yes. I'm not happy with that party either.
Yeah.
Both parties are screwed up nine ways from Sunday. They're both a mess. To me, the Republican Party today is like the Democrat Party was in the 90s. Okay. They're afraid to speak out. They're afraid to back their candidate. They should be behind Trump every step of the way. And they're just afraid of their own shadow. And it's very frustrating.
You're exactly right. All you have to do is look at it this simply. Look at Joe Biden. He is the weakest, worst president. Not just his physical well-being, not just his mental, but his policies, the damage he's done to this country, the lives he's lost in Afghanistan and with the other terrible decisions. He has been a destructive, terrible president, on top of the fact that He's very mentally compromised. The Republicans should be up by 100 points. He should be the most easily defeatable president of all time. And I believe that he will lose, but it shouldn't even be close.
If the rest of the party,
Republicans could get on the same page at your point.
If the rest of the party would unify behind him, that would happen, but they don't.
Yes.
And people have to remember that.
The fact that
you've got senators like Ted Cruz and these guys that the small group comes out and they're behind him. Where's everybody else? Mm-hmm. Everybody should be behind him.
Yeah. I want you guys to explain this economy to me. You know, we're hearing signs that...
I need a slide rule.
We're hearing signs that there could be some trouble down the road, but unemployment is low. Americans are spending money. I mean, I saw something the other day where the airlines are saying that they are selling out their seats. Americans are going on vacation. I know you guys see it at your business that, hey, you guys are having a lot of business. When I was on my birthday, we went to Cafe Napoli. That place was packed.
Yeah.
Americans are spending money, but there's this feeling that the economy could fall off the cliff at any moment.
Well, it kind of is falling off the cliff. Yeah. I'll let Jake speak to what he sees every day as a contractor. But it's all about division. You've got the haves and the have nots. That's how the Democrat Party sees everything. Mm-hmm. The middle class was literally created by Henry Ford. Okay. Mm-hmm. He created the assembly line, all that. Sure. The American industrialization created the middle class, and it was a great thing. Ever since then, or I should say in the last 50 years, there's been a concerted effort to destroy the middle class. And then that way it's the haves and the have nots. And that keeps a certain party, in the lead with votes that garners them votes. So the economy, it's terrible right now. I mean, look at gas prices. Look at what a gallon of milk is. What's a gallon of milk now? $6. You know, it's ridiculous.
And like I said, I'm not giving Joe Biden any credit for this at all.
He doesn't even know what's going on.
But explain, though, how the airlines are saying people are flying, people are going vacation, people are going to restaurants, they are spending money. They have talked about Americans are spending down their savings. Yeah. They're not saving as they did, but Americans are going out, spending money, keeping this economy going.
They are, and honestly, Chris, I would attribute that to frustration. Mm-hmm. I mean, at some point, when you're miserable for 3.5 years, you're going to want to vacate. Yeah. You're going to do what you got to do to enjoy life. The market is up, the Dow's up. It's not up because of these great policies; they're horrible policies. It's
don't
up because
COVID either. Everybody was stuck inside for 2 years, so now they're tired of being inside.
That's exactly
so they're
right.
Spending their savings, they're spending credit cards, they're spending money that they may or may not have because we've been stuck inside for 2 years.
No, that's exactly right. And Joe Biden took credit for everybody going back to work and called them new jobs. They're not new jobs,
right? Exactly.
But I'm gonna tell you, I mean, I do a lot of, I mean, I get political on Facebook a lot, and I do a lot of posts, but I believe it. You know, if you look back to late 30s Germany, Joseph Goebbels, okay, he was an evil human being. All the Nazis were, but look at what he did. He said, if you say a lie often enough, it becomes the truth.
Yes.
All the stuff he did then, the mindset he had, that's being used today and it's working. You know, they will look. How many times do you watch the news or you'll watch a press conference and Biden or whoever up there and they will lie right to the camera and you know it's a lie. The sky is purple.
Mm-hmm.
But they just keep saying it. Unfortunately, I love my countrymen. There's 40% of the electorate about that. Just OK. Sky's purple.
Yeah.
Whatever they say.
Yeah.
Until we overcome that and people start thinking for themselves and you know, when I hear something, I watch CNN. I have to have a vomit bag next to me, but I watch CNN. Right. I watch MSNBC. Right. I want to know what they're saying.
Yeah, I'm with
because
you.
I want to know where we're at, and I want to know what they're pushing, and I know it's lies, but I watch it. Yeah. You know, Fox News. You know, they're not what they were 5 years ago. But again, I gather all the facts myself, make my own decision.
Yes.
If every American did that, it'd be a whole different country.
Yeah, totally
all right.
Agree.
Before we close out here, the last time we were at Johnny's, we did our remote. You were building the newest stage that was out front, the pickup truck stage. I guess that's
Boulevard stage.
Boulevard stage. I knew there was a better term than that. What's been happening since the Boulevard stage?
Have you considered changing the name to pickup truck stage?
Pickup truck stage.
No. We have to hammer down our brand.
No pickup truck. Pickup truck stage.
So no, you're exactly right. It is always evolving, always changing. So now we have the Boulevard stage, which we use for special events, our bike nights, any parking lot events, charity events, things like that. We're thinking about opening it up and doing a big TV 90-inch TV party for the UFC events that we're now hosting.
That's important.
That's something that we're getting involved in, is hosting all the UFC, all the boxing pay-per-view events.
Oh, I was going to say, people go out there live? We can watch somebody scrap, throw hands?
No. That would be fun.
That's the pickup truck stage.
There you go. To have some people out there throwing hands live. I'll be out there.
Well, can I ask a quick question before we
go for it?
Because I think it's very helpful to have business owners in this conversation because we talk all the time about Rick, you just mentioned gas prices and a gallon of milk. But what I've learned from a lot of business owners that I know over the last couple of years, and it's a part of the story that people don't get usually. It's not just you. It's not your family's milk prices. It's the food that you guys are buying. Restaurants are buying.
I had the conversation today with Johnny, and this is wild. Mm-hmm. Wings cost us 80 cents a wing.
Mm. Yeah,
I remember when it was 25 cent. You could go to a restaurant and buy 25 cent wings or 50 cent wings.
Right,
it cost us 85 cents a wing right now.
Yeah, that's a part of the story that people don't realize those costs are out of control. You know, I have various friends, but like my friends at TJ's Pizza, they talk about like the price of pepperoni has quadrupled. People don't realize that. They don't realize that it's not just the everyday person shopping and paying for gas. It's the business owners that are if you're putting on an addition, the cost of the construction goods.
Our shingle prices from when Rick sold have almost doubled.
The cost of your food. It's everything is out of control, and that just creates a big picture.
Yeah, voters have to remember the people that are in Washington and both parties that run this country don't care one tiny bit about what milk costs you or your day. They care about power and keeping their seat. That's all they care about.
They don't even know what milk costs.
No, they don't. And that's an important point.
It is.
They don't care how much you're struggling. Stop being loyal to a party that doesn't freaking care because they don't care. And again, I'm not just talking about the Democrat Party. Republican Party is not as bad, but they're pretty bad.
Yeah.
They've
support
the
politicians.
They've gotten to the point where they trade power every few years, and they just, as long as their racket's going, who cares about the rest of the country?
You fit groups of people that are too afraid to offend people.
Yes. And
they're just trying to accommodate too many people. There's too many that you just can't. Yeah.
People ask me why I support Trump, and I tell them the same thing every time, because he's not from there.
Yeah.
He's not one of them. He doesn't care. When he ran, he didn't take their money. Mm-hmm. He didn't care. Mm-hmm. That's why the Republican Party fought him. They both fought him.
You shouldn't blindly vote for either party. No,
we need somebody to go to Washington and blow it up. We need somebody to go there and blow up the system. The system. There is a uniparty. Yeah. That is a real thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't vote blindly for any party, but you should definitely not vote.
And that's why Rick is right now making the announcement that he will be running for president.
I was going to say, you're right, Tony. You should not vote blindly for any political party, but you should not vote for the Libertarian Party.
Yes.
Sorry.
Well, this year, I agree with you on that.
Well, let me make the official announcement that I will never be running for any office because I don't want anybody. I don't want anybody looking into me.
Is Rick Pogue and Jake Kastner in studio with us from Johnny's Hideout? Of course, we're going to have the big presidential debate party out at Johnny's this Thursday, June 27th. Tim and I will be doing our show from there, and afterwards, we're going to have a big party. And these guys assure me they have all the wings, all the liquor, all the food necessary. So come on out. Have a great time at Johnny's.
Can I make one quick comment?
Go for it, sir.
So this Tuesday, we're hosting an event for Holly Rader, who's running for lieutenant governor.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're out and about and you want to come by and maybe make a donation to her, Holly Rader running for lieutenant governor, she will be there Tuesday. I think it's 5:30.
Thank you so much for coming in, guys. Have a great
Love you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for all you do.
We'll see you next weekend or next week. You're listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Thanks, Tony, to you as well. We'll be right back. When I get
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on NewsTalkSTL.com.
Sure, inflation's cooling, but it still makes millions of Americans hot.
Everything is so much higher than it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Compared to 1 year ago, consumer prices were up 3.3% last month. Still too high for the Federal Reserve and its 2% goal. The Fed left its benchmark interest rate intact last week.
We've made good progress. And we're in the phase now of just, sticking with it until we get it done.
The Fed says one interest rate cut is likely by the end of the year, although the timing is unclear. That means borrowers may get little relief before November's presidential elections.
5:31 and welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. You heard Rick Pogue and Jake Kastner, they're owners of Johnny's Hideout, talking about the economy and how their costs have risen. They are doing good business right now, but as all business owners are, they are worried about the future. We've got a guy that has a great crystal ball, and we'll talk to him next.
What is your financial situation?
All of our holdings are tied up in the railroads.
Yeah, Reading Railroad, B&O Railroad, Pennsylvania Railroad.
I won second prize in a beauty contest. That's $50 right there.
Are you guys just saying Monopoly stuff?
Dr. Hedlund, welcome to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show.
Great to join you.
Great. As I said there in the coming in there, that we had two business owners last segment, and I was talking with them, Dr. Hedlund, about how some of the economic conditions aren't as favorable as we would like, but Americans are spending money. They're traveling. They're buying airplane tickets. They're doing things that you would do if you didn't feel that the economy was as bad. Can you explain that paradox?
Well, I'm not sure how much of a paradox it is, because we are seeing evidence of consumer spending slowing. I think if you looked at 2023, it looked pretty robust. And in fact, all the happy talk about economic growth being fairly strong in 2023 was driven largely by consumers spending. And the issue is consumers have largely run out of the artificial sources of money that were helping them to fuel that. So they had accumulated $2 trillion of money that the government had sent to them and were able to kind of measure those bank accounts. Well, that $2 trillion is now zero. So that's kind of how consumers have gotten through inflation, and now they're getting through it by racking up debt, which is not sustainable.
Last week, Dr. Hedlund, the Congressional Budget Office raised its forecast for the budget deficit this year by 27%. That doesn't sound like a rounding error. Is it usual for them to miss it by this much?
No, these are very unusual times in terms of the budget. I mean, to be talking about $2 trillion deficits, that's not $2 trillion of debt accumulated. This is just 1 year's worth of debt, $2 trillion. It's completely unfathomable. And with interest rates where they are, it just kind of gets us closer and closer to that debt spiral scenario that's just so hard to pull out of. This is completely reckless. And you can only imagine how worse it would be if we actually were to go into a recession, because typically the deficit gets even worse in that situation. So this is really unhealthy.
Not to get political, because I know you don't do politics, Dr. Hedlund, but we're talking a massive amount of debt here. We have a Republican and a Democratic Party, a liberal conservative party. Who is the most to blame for this massive debt? I mean, it can't be just one party, can it?
Well, I mean, if you look at the data, right, I mean, neither side has been particularly tight with the government wallet over the past decade, really. But if you look at the data prior to 2021, I should say prior to 2020, the COVID stuff, our debt relative to the size of the economy had at least kind of stabilized. There were still risks of kind of entitlements going forward, but we're kind of in a stable situation. What has happened since then is a permanent expansion in government post-COVID. And I can kind of understand it during COVID itself, because there are a lot of emergency things going on. But we should have gone back to normal. We should have gone back to 2019 levels, and we haven't. So, and then that's why we have the inflation, by the way. Inflation did not come magically out of nowhere. It did not happen because of Vladimir Putin. It was not just a string of bad luck. This is because we've been kind of spraying money into the economy from the government really over the past few years, and we really have to stop it.
We're speaking with Dr. Aaron Hudlin. He's the chief economist at the Shomi Institute and former chief domestic economist and senior advisor at the White House Council of Economic Advisors. Dr. Hudlin, a group of Republican senators have followed former President Trump's lead, and they have introduced a bill to exempt tips from federal income taxes. A liberal think tank says that this idea will cost between $150 billion and $250 billion. Your thoughts on exempting tips from federal income taxes?
Well, I always love it when liberal groups talk about tax cuts costing money. Tax cuts don't cost money. The trillions of dollars of spending that we've been doing have been costing money. And that's actually the trade-off I would propose to people when they look at the policy landscape. If you like the spending of the last few years, and if you feel like it's actually benefited you, and you want the tens of trillions of dollars that it's going to cost to keep doing that, then go for it. To me, I think the far better thing for the prosperity of the country would be to unwind and stop the spending so that we can provide a lot of tax relief to the tip-earning class, because the working-class people have been totally hammered by the inflation tax the past few years. We've seen purchasing power decline by thousands of dollars. It's impossible to get a home for the average person these days. So I think any relief is welcome.
And to follow up on that, Dr. Hudlin, the President Trump also introduced an idea about eliminating the income tax and replacing it with tariffs or some idea like that. Are you familiar with that?
I am. And it's always, again, amusing watching the media kind of lose its head whenever tariffs are mentioned, but then they're kind of pro-tax hike everywhere else. I think, to me, it makes perfect sense to use any and every dollar that we raise from tariffs to put towards income tax reductions. To me, it makes sense, right? So to the extent that we're going to use tariffs, for example, to impose leverage on China to get them to stop cheating, well, instead of using that money to grow government, let's use the money from the tariffs to reduce taxes that are hurting growth.
We again are speaking with Dr. Aaron Hudlin, chief economist at the Shomi Institute. The other day, Dr. Hudlin, the U.S. Treasury Department added Japan to its quote-unquote monitoring list for foreign exchange practices, but they stopped short of labeling them currency manipulators. What exactly is Japan doing to get on the U.S. Treasury Department's list?
Yeah, I haven't been following the Japanese case too much there. I mean, I don't really know why so much attention is being paid to Japan when China is the clear violator of so many different things. Like, so, for example, when we look at the Inflation Reduction Act that was passed, you know, in the past couple of years, I mean, that is sending essentially billions of dollars to China because of all the green subsidy stuff. A lot of that stuff is produced in China. And we know that China is manipulating their currency. We know that China is abusing human rights. We know that China is stealing intellectual property. We should be really focusing on them instead of going after our trading partners who are our friends.
And Dr. Hudlin, Bloomberg had a very interesting article the other day, too. The title was How the U.S. Bopped Up a Third of Global Capital Flows Since COVID. It says the U.S. has nabbed almost one-third of all the investment that flowed across borders since COVID struck. The pre-pandemic U.S. average share was just 18%. Break that down for us. What does this mean overall for the United States?
Well, I think the good news is that despite the wrong-headed policy that we've been seeing, despite the pain from all the inflation and debt, the U.S. economy is still fundamentally strong because of the private sector. Right? The private sector has had to deal with a lot, but I still would not change our position for that of any other country in the world. So especially when there's global uncertainty, the U.S. is a place where capital and money fly to safety. I think we need to maintain that position. I think we can strengthen that position going forward, but that's just evidence of, you know, why the U.S. is still a strong economy.
And speaking of China, Dr. Hudlin, Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, said a couple of weeks ago that the United States and Europe needed to work together to push back against China's excess industrial capacity. How do we do that when our economies are so interconnected?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we have to look at is some strategic decoupling when it comes to China. And we cannot be dependent on them, right? We've seen that during the pandemic. They use their position. They've kind of, some of their supply chains are over there, for example, pharmaceuticals, and they kind of cut us off. Mm-hmm. Right? We can never be in a position where China could decide for political reasons to cut us off. So I think we want to have resilient supply chains, which means we need to have a competitive tax code. We need to have our debt situation more under control. And China is actually going to do some of our work for us in the sense that they are actually in a pretty bad situation. They have a real estate crisis that's brewing. They have a population that's shrinking. So I think China's best days are probably behind them, but that doesn't mean they can't be dangerous.
And Dr. Halen, we know that Nippon Steel is trying to buy U.S. Steel. It's a $15 billion takeover. I know you are a free trader, like we all are here. Your thoughts of Japan taking over one of our iconic steel businesses, is this good for U.S., for the United States?
So I think from a macro perspective, we do want to make sure that we have strong domestic capacity when it comes to steel, as well as capacity from our friends. I wouldn't say I have a strong opinion about that specific deal alone. I know it's easy to jump on those and say, no, we never want any foreign, foreign entities taking over any U.S. companies. I wouldn't go that far. But I do want to make sure that we do have domestic capacity as well. So I would scrutinize it, but I'd have to look at the details before saying exactly what I think the outcome should be.
Dr. Hedlund, thank you so much for your time today. I think we got our money's worth this week from you. Thank you for answering all our business, economic, and finance questions. You, of course, are chief economist at the Show Me Institute and a former chief domestic economist and senior advisor at the White House Council of Economic Advisors. Thank you for your time, and have a great weekend.
You too. Glad to join.
Thank you, sir. Well, Joey, one more broadcasting segment left before we start the weekend and we head out into this. What's the temperature probably now? You think it's below 90?
No, probably 120, 130.
is that heat index or anything like that?
When I laid down on the black pavement out there, that's what it kind of felt like. I got these welts on my skin now.
Joey, you are just a jack of all trades. Mm-hmm. When we come back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp show, we'll lighten it up a little bit, give you some news that you may not have heard. So don't go away. You're listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp show on 101.9, 94.1 News Talk STL, Soros Free Radio.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Reggie, how emotional is it for you to come back?
Coming back here is not easy. The racism that I played here, when I played here, the difficulty of going through different places where we traveled. Fortunately, I had a manager and I had players on the team that helped me get through it. But I wouldn't wish it on anybody. I walked into restaurants and they would point at me and said, can't eat here. I would go to a hotel and they said, can't stay here. We went to Charlie Finley's country club for a welcome home dinner and they pointed me out with the N-word. He can't come in here. Finley marched the whole team out. Finally, they let me in there. He said, we're going to go to the diner and eat hamburgers. We'll go where we're wanted.
5:49 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp show. The great, great Reggie Jackson recounting the things that he went to as a young African-American ball player back in the day. Reggie Jackson was one of my all-time favorite baseball players when I was coming of age in the early 70s, 6 or 7, when I started following sports. Reggie Jackson was one of my favorite players. He played for the Oakland A's at the time, and I loved Reggie Jackson. I loved the Oakland A's. Later, of course, baseball fans know that George Steinbrenner basically bought the A's all-stars, and they all signed with the Yankees. Catfish Hunter, Goose Gossage, all of them came over to the Yankees. But I always loved Reggie Jackson. Reggie Jackson, you know, it's amazing when you hear that, and maybe that's why. One of the knocks on Reggie Jackson during his career was that he was a very, very cocky, confident person, and maybe that's where it came from, having to deal with that racism on a day-to-day business. It made him strong. It made him confident. I mean, everyone remembers the epic battles between him and the manager of the Yankees, can't think of his name right now, who was fired 5 or 6 times by George Steinbrenner. They had a rough relationship, you know, to show you how cocky Reggie Jackson was. One of his famous sayings that he had in the 70s was that I am the straw that stirs the drink, and that caused a lot of controversy. Reggie Jackson dated white women in the 70s when you weren't supposed to date white women. He had his own candy bar, Reggie. So Reggie Jackson was a hero of mine, and I remember when the movie 42 came out with Jackie Robinson. And I can understand how it was emotional for him in a sense. I can never totally understand, but I understand what a sense how emotional he got. I remember my wife and I went to go see the Jackie Robinson movie 42, and witnessing what he went through, the taunts from the players and the discrimination, I was blubbering like a baby sitting in the movie theater. And, you know, my wife is like consoling me and touching me, and I'm trying to be man, like, I'm okay, I'm not crying. But man, just seeing what he went through, and that famous scene in the movie when he is down in the dugout and he swings the bat and he just hits the side of the wall with it. He's just so frustrated. I mean, I was crying like a baby. And so I'm glad to hear Reggie Jackson recount those stories. It's part of our history. It should be told. But as I always say with things like that, you know, it's a question where you can look, is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? A lot of people want to look at it as half empty and want to focus on the racism and the dark periods of our country. I prefer to look at it as, look how far that we have come in baseball and sports and in life. And let's look back on the past so that we remember those histories and those lessons, so we don't forget them. But let's focus on how far we've come. No other nation in this world has come from slavery and the oppressive discrimination past that we've had. Were to have a black president and Supreme Court justices and the things of that nature. So America is a great country. Is it perfect? No, it's not perfect, but I tell you, there's no other place in this world that I want to live. So that is my
how can you not be romantic about baseball?
So that is my soapbox moment there. You've been waiting for that, haven't you?
I have. If you've ever seen Moneyball, I'm always blubbering at
not.
The end when Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill are watching mm-hmm. this clip of this guy who didn't even know he hit a home run. He just stumbles over himself, crawls back to first base, and then he gets back up once the crowd points out that you hit a home run. What's wrong? And he runs around the bases, and it makes me cry every time. And then Brad Pitt says, how can you not be romantic about baseball? And that's what I was feeling when I was watching Reggie Jackson talk last night. And they didn't censor it on Fox, actually. Yeah. We censored it here because we're wussies.
Well, I'm glad that
he said the N-word right on the air.
I'm glad he got a chance to say that, because it needed to be said in its raw form so people understood the emotions and the pain that he felt. And as I said, if you are a baseball fan and have been around for a while and know Reggie Jackson, that's par for the course for Reggie. Reggie said what exactly was on his mind and did not care what you thought about it. And his advanced age there, it hurt me a little bit to hear his voice sounding a little frail and not as strong as I remember it. But Reggie's got to be 77, 78. He may be even 80 years old. I don't know. He's getting up there in years, but a great, great baseball player. I'll never forget the 77 World Series with him hitting those three home runs in that game. Just absolutely incredible.
I went back and watched that on YouTube. After I watched him on Fox last night, I went and watched him hit those three home runs, and it makes you cry
it does. And you know,
he looks so cool too with the glasses.
It did with the prescriptions.
Afro, yeah.
And the one thing about Reggie Jackson's baseball career is a good lesson about life. You know,
Reggie Jackson. You caught yourself.
Reggie Jackson's whole career is a good metaphor on life and not giving up. You know, Reggie Jackson hit 500 and something's home runs. He's up there with the top home run hitters in baseball. But you know, he probably doesn't anymore. But you know, he had the record also for the most strikeouts.
Whoa, you got to swing.
Exactly.
You don't swing, you won't get those
hits. Exactly. So he hit 500 and something home runs, but he always led the league every year in strikeouts. So you got to shoot your shot. Sometimes you miss, sometimes you don't. But it's a good metaphor on life. That was the word I was looking for.
There was this movie made by the South Park creators. Mm-hmm. When I grew up, I watched it all the time. It's called Basketball.
And the plot, part of it was that Reggie Jackson had hit his three home runs in the World Series.
Okay.
And some punk kid got the third one and never gave it back to him. And then he finds the punk kid one day and almost beats the crap out of him because he wanted that third home run ball returned to him.
I don't blame him. Mm-hmm.
Joe, you remember, this was a little before your time, but do you remember one of the great Prince albums, Under the Cherry Moon, which was a horrible movie. This was after Purple Rain, so we tried to do Under the Cherry Moon. I think he had one or two hits on it. Kiss, I think, was on that album. Do you remember Under the Cherry Moon?
I've only heard bad things about it. I've never even watched Purple Rain, even though I've also heard it's an acquired taste.
Well, if you grew up in the 80s in Prince, you had to watch that. But the reason I bring that up, Joey, is today... tonight will be a full June moon, and today will be a strawberry or cherry moon. So because the sun will be at its lowest point in the horizon, the sun will give off a cherry or strawberry moon color. Joey, how exciting is that?
We're going to go on a walk together, hike about 8:30, watch the sunset. I like it. Making plans with me.
Not. Hey, good show today. We had a full show. A lot of great guests to take you into the weekend. Larry Connors USA is up next. We've had a great time guest hosting or co-hosting with Larry yesterday. He's up next from 6 to 8. He'll talk about the big SCOTUS case this day. They'll take you into the weekend. Tim Jones will be back with me Monday. So will Joey V. You have been listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9, 94.1 News Talk STL. Have a great weekend and drive safe.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.